Volume 22, Chelek Chof Beis, Parshas Tazria, Sicha Beis, the second Sicha. In the beginning of the Torah portion of Tazria, the Torah portion that discusses Negoe Odom, skin lesions of Tzaras, in verse 2, in chapter 13, Pasuk Beis, in Perek Yud Gimel, we read, Odom, ki yehe be'or besorei. When a person detects a discoloration on the skin of his or her flesh, and it forms a tzaras lesion, he shall be brought to Aaron the Kohen, or to one of his sons, the Kohanim. The descriptive term used for a person in this verse who presents with a tzaras lesion is the word Odom, which is the highest accolade given to the human being in terms of all the four terms available, Adam, Ish, Gever, and Enosh. There's the well-known question how it's possible to refer to one as Adam, this highest appellation, when he has done something that has resulted in the affliction of the impurity of Tzaras. Tzaras being one of the most severe of impurities, regarding which our sages have said that one afflicted with tzaras is considered like a dead person. The Alter Rebbe responds to this question by explaining that it's the very essence of what this affliction is that explains how one afflicted can yet be referred to as Adam. It's particularly because the person is on the level of Adam, this lofty level where one is in a state of wholeness, that he or she is afflicted with a skin lesion of tzaras. The lesions of the tzaras only show up on a person's skin, telling us that whatever negative trait resulted in this punishment, it's only an external one. It's only skin deep and does not penetrate deeper into a person's essence. It's only a residual external negative that has remained at the very external, the very edges of a person's thought, speech, or action, and thus presents on the skin of his flesh. The Alshich explains that sins of the wicked, who are fundamentally impure, will not present on the skin of the flesh, because when the very substance of a person is wicked, his wickedness doesn't show up as a mere lesion on his skin. Similarly, the Alter Rebbe also explains why, post the destruction of the temple, we no longer fulfill the practice of identifying or live with the divine instruction regarding tzaras lesions, as we're no longer on so lofty or such lofty exceptional levels to be deserving of what Maimonides refers to as a miraculous presentation. There are simply no longer such pure people among us who have no internal negativity, as even the righteous and the good still have some internalized measure of evil, and this internal evil will not present as a skin lesion. Let's explain this idea more clearly. Our sages say that tzaras lesions appear due to the sin of lashon hara, malicious talk about another, which is a very serious transgression, which is a very serious sin, equatable to the three sins for which a Jew should rather give his life than transgress. It is, Maimonides teaches in the Laws of Deus, as though one is denying the very existence of God. How then can we suggest that this person is a complete person, whole and deserving of being called Adam, and all that he lacks is refining the outer and most external levels of evil? How is that wholeness? Even more surprising is that the severity of speaking lashon hara is discussed by Maimonides in the same discussion of law which the Alter Rebbe cites as proof that tzaras lesions are a miraculous manifestation which we no longer manifest in this day and age. And in that law, Maimonides elaborates and says that speaking lashon hara can bring a person to a state of kfira, to total denial of God. How then can the Alter Rebbe say that this reference of Adam is to a perfectly complete individual? We can resolve this by first explaining Maimonides' teaching in the source mentioned. After teaching that Saras lesions result from the speaking of Lashon Hara, quoting the events of Miriam, sister to Moshe, who spoke about her brother and was afflicted with Saras, Maimonides continues and introduces a concept that seems to have no connection to Lashon Hara, and even less so to the laws of the impurity of the Tzaras skin lesions. Maimonides states, when it can extrapolate from the incident with Miriam in regard to the wicked and foolish who speak constantly with great exaggeration. First, they talk excessively about nonsense and end up speaking negatively of the righteous, becoming desensitized and accustomed to speaking even against the prophets, creating an atmosphere of doubt about their prophecies, which lead to speaking negatively about God and ultimately denying his existence, or denying God. This is the conversation of the wicked, resulting from their wasteful loitering on street corners, says Maimonides, and their idle time spent in the company of commoners and at parties with drunkards. The conversations of the righteous in Israel, however, are about topics on Torah and Torah wisdom, and therefore God aids them and brings them merit. These words of Maimonides really require clarification. First of all, we're talking about the prohibition of speaking Lashon Hara, which causes the impurity that leads to impure lesions of Tzaras. So how do we end up with this lengthy discussion about the conversations of the wicked in general, which begin with idle nonsense, not specifically Lashon Hara, and end up with unfortunate talk that denies God? Even if we were to say that Lashon Hara is a detail, an aspect of the talk of the wicked, and therefore when Maimonides discusses Lashon Hara and its severity, he needs to explain how terrible the talk of the wicked is in general, why does this all get recorded in the section that deals with the impurity of Saras lesions, which is a consequence and a punishment of only Lashon Hara? All of this elaboration surely belongs in the section that discusses the laws of Deus, personal development, where the details of the laws of avoiding forbidden speech are taught. And second of all, if Maimonides' intention is to highlight the severity of the prohibition of Lashon Hara, then he should have quoted his harsh descriptions that he teaches about Lashon Hara in the section that deals with the laws of personal development. More so in the laws of personal development, Maimonides quotes the teachings of our sages found in the Tractate of Erechin, Personal Property Evaluation Laws, that state that anyone who engages in Lashon Hara is considered to be denying God, that the sin of Lashon Hara on its own is as severe as denying God. But here Maimonides says that through Lashon Hara, one ends up speaking kfira, words that deny God, but he doesn't say that these very words of Lashon Hara are like denying God. Why? Perhaps the following is an explanation for this. When Maimonides elaborates at length about the idle talk of the wicked, he's highlighting the specific part of Lashon Hara that leads to the manifestation of Saras lesions on one's skin. To further explain, Lashon Hara consists of two aspects. One is speaking Lashon Hara, which is a direct result of one's poor character traits. His talk is motivated either by jealousy or hatred. Speaking this way causes hurt to the person who is the subject of the discussion. So ultimately, this kind of talk reveals one's poor character traits and hurts another. This is what Maimonides highlights in the Laws of Personal Development and Refinement, Hilchos Deus. There, Maimonides devotes much space to undesirable speech and behaviors, speaking or in the way one behaves towards another. There's another aspect to speaking Lashon Hara, and that is the speaking itself. Even when there's no intention to harm another, Lashon Hara draws into evil. Because even while the capacity for speech is only an external experience or reality, only a garment to the life force of a person, it is yet very much bound up with the essence of what a person is, and that is a medaber, created with the unique gift of intelligent communication. Speech used for negative draws a person into the power of evil. This gives us insight into Maimonides' lengthy commentary, the end of the section of the Laws of Impurities of Tzaraas Lesions, regarding the conversations of the wicked. Maimonides begins by saying that we need to protect ourselves from the conduct of the excessive nonsense that the wicked speak. Their talk is not quite categorized as undesirable. Then Maimonides describes the wasteful gatherings of the wicked who converse about nonsense, again, not inherently evil, but these conversations drag a person into the ultimate state of evil. This is how Maimonides categorizes Lashon Hara. It is, he says, the conversations of the wicked, the way a wicked person would talk, with carelessness that hurts and impacts others. Maimonides immediately emphasizes this at the beginning of his halakhic discussion, when he describes how lesions manifest in order to warn us regarding Lashon Hara. The development of these lesions result in a person's well-publicized isolation, and thus he remains separated from the nonsensical and ultimately malicious conversations of the wicked. It does seem at first that bringing up the conversations of the wicked and the nonsense spoken are out of place in terms of the subject that Maimonides is focusing on. But in fact, by bringing these things up, Maimonides clarifies that Lashon Hara that leads to the Tzaraas lesions is part and parcel and a result of the conversations of the wicked. Lashon Hara represents a deficiency in the garment of an individual, in his speech, and this deficiency in this garment manifests on the skin of one's flesh, the external part of one's body. Accordingly, we can appreciate why Maimonides tells us at some length that it's from Miriam that we learned that the lesions of Tzaraas present because of Lashon Hara, and the Torah thus warns us to be cognizant of what occurred with Miriam, because Miriam's relationship with Moshe was quite the opposite to negative. She raised Moshe, and she endangered herself to save him from the waters of the Nile. She had no intention to do harm, and Maimonides even tells us that she did not speak negatively about him, only that she erred in her speech. And Moshe, the Torah tells us, was not impacted or offended by what she said. There was no evil in her words and no destruction, not from her part nor in the way it impacted Moshe. It was all just external and minor, and yet she was immediately struck with Tzaraas. According to all the above, we can further understand why Maimonides explains the order in which lesions manifest as a way of warning us from speaking Lashon Hara. First, the walls of the house are impacted. There are lesions on the home. Then if one continues in his evil way of Lashon Hara, the leather vessels in his home become lesioned. Then his clothes present with lesions. And only after, if he still continues with this behavior, his skin is impacted and presents with Tzaraas lesions. This parallels the pattern of speaking Lashon Hara. First, a person just speaks superficially. What is said is not impactful, doesn't impact him or her either. So the blemish that appears is only on the house, not a part of an individual, but separate to him. But the more one speaks, the more a person is dragged into what he says and the negativity in his speech. It becomes more integrated into his being, more part of him than only external. Hence the pattern in which the blemishes manifest on his vessels, then his personal garments, then his very skin. But when, as we said earlier, evil enters and begins to affect one's inner self, there is no phenomenon of Tzaraas lesions. And we can accordingly understand how the explanation of the Alter Rebbe that lesions present specifically when a person has reached a level of wholeness that has impacted almost all of him, but for the edges of his garments, does not contradict what Maimonides says. In fact, they're two sides of the same coin, because the warning against Lashon Hara that is taught by Maimonides is a warning in areas of speech altogether, and speech is really external to one's essence. Now we can understand why it is the Kohen who repairs and declares a person pure from the lesions. Because here's our problem. If a person who presents with Saras lesions is a complete man, as we said, who has the potential to refine all his internal stuff and has actually refined himself internally, why can't he refine his externals on his own? The reason is that the complete man is likely to stumble with Lashon Hara, even though he has refined his internal self, because there is possibly concealed an unconscious negativity within him. It hasn't surfaced and revealed itself in his consciousness at all. But this concealed negativity emerges in speech. Speech reflects the essence of man, his power of speech. But this type of speech is very external to who the person is, and there's no malicious intent because this person has refined their internal selves and would never engage in evil or malicious speech. Rather, it shows up as external stuff. But the way to repair this flaw is through correcting this hidden, unconscious source in one's soul. It's thus the Kohen who can repair. The priest manifests chesed ilah, supernal kindness, and can purify this concealed evil with a declaration of the words, "You are pure." The priest draws down into this world, via his words, the most supreme light with which he repairs the unconscious and concealed negativity, bringing the Metzora into a state of complete purity.